It's time for the Apple Watchcast. What to expect from the Apple Watch in 2025, what products are now discontinued, vintage, obsolete, and out of production, new Apple Fitness content, and even more Apple Watch band patents, plus reviews of cleanup in photos, ChatGPT integration, complete unknown movie, and fall detection on the Apple Watch. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 483, recorded Sunday, January 5th, 2025. Mostly Dead.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
My friends call me Vintage.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that today a little bit. Vintage Vincent. I like that. The show is becoming vintage, by the way. Also joining us is, of course, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Happy New Year. I think I'm obsolete.
I've been obsolete for a while. I don't know what's beyond obsolete, but antique, I guess.
Old? Old?
It's a collectible. It's a collectible.
Collectible is yes. Better. Yes.
Yeah, our first show of 2025, and this is our 10th year of doing this show. I can't believe it.
Wow,
I looked it up. It was March 11th, 2015.
Wow.
Yeah, that we started this whole thing. So, yeah, this show is definitely, from Apple's terms, obsolete. But even the watch, right? Yeah, itself from back then. But, yeah, we like to think of ourselves, you're right, more as collectible.
Yeah, there you go. It's going up in value here.
I don't know about that.
Maybe.
We got a, first of the year. Our news is a little different. It's kind of a rough time, but there's a few little things to talk about. And of course, because it's the first of the year, it's a lot of patent news. Mm-hmm. We hadn't done those in a while, and we got like four of them today. So I think it's just year-end getting the patents in and new ones starting. So we'll go through those as well. Anything else you guys want to mention before we start talking about what's going on?
No. No. Let's dive in. There's a lot of stories.
All right. So speaking of New Year and resolutions, Apple has put out a new video, and from an advertising standpoint, I love this idea because it's kind of clever. But it's the idea that the Apple Watch can help you quitting on your fitness goals. It's a new video they put out. This is perfect. But it highlights the activity apps, motivational notifications, and coaching as something that can help keep you on the right track and prevent you from to make you quitting because I don't know what I haven't seen any stats. Usually there's articles about that, but what is the average? People always try to start the New Year's resolution, but exercising, how long does that typically last for people? Is it like a week?
Second Friday, the new commercial, right? Quitting day.
Yep. Yeah. There you go. So anyway, it's a great video. I'll put a link in the show notes for it. But I love this concept, whoever came up with it, to quit
Strava.
They came Strava?
Yeah, about 5 years ago. They measured it.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying it was the second week?
Second week.
Yeah.
Second Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. Nah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're still doing it at this point... You're doing good. Keep going.
You got five more days.
Yeah. By the way, Apple does have a New Year's challenge. They do every year. Close all your rings 7 days in a row to help try to kick off some good habits. But So that ends at the end of January, but you got to do 7 days in a row. As we record this on the 5th, your time is ticking. So get out there and watch this video to get motivated. So anyway,
celebrate quitting day. I want to, it's a no quitting day. Quitting day would be just, I'm going to go and start a new series.
And you know, I noticed a something in the video that there's a, I guess I need to look at, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm confusing this with another story. We're going to talk about, there's some new activity things that Apple has released is about to release here, I think, in a couple of days. But one of the metrics I noticed on here was reaching your goal, which I guess you can set it to reach a goal, right? What if you're out running, you have a pace or certain calories you're trying to hit or whatever. I never really do those. I just do open
workouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never put it to a goal. I guess I'm not that motivated.
Well, when we get to that story, so my New Year's resolutions are never around exercise, because those are the ones that everyone does and you're going to crap out pretty quick. And I already exercise, so I don't need that. Mine are around physical things. Like last year, it was like painting so many rooms in my house, right? That's something you could, you could do, right?
Is that an activity? Is that an activity on the, no? Okay.
Well, I'm getting there. But this year I actually have one that's kind of health related. And then it showed up on the story we're going to talk about, the new activity.
Okay, good.
I was like, see, yeah. I was getting to the activity, Tom. Yeah. Just give me time.
No problem.
But, so I'm excited when I saw that.
All right, well, let's talk about that. So we're talking about new content coming to Apple Fitness. And this will start tomorrow on the 6th. So new content coming. A bunch of new stuff. One is strength training, which there's already strength training, right? This is new. Mm-hmm. Parts of it, I think, is that it's progressive. So it's designed with workouts you can do over a period of weeks and redo by adding heavier weights or pushing yourself further as you build strength. So I think it's designed to be done over a 3-week period and targets every major muscle group. I might actually try this one out. So there's a total of 12 30-minute workouts. Mm-hmm. So not bad. That's nice that they're adding to that. I think the previous strength trainings were just whatever they wanted to do, right?
Right,
I don't think it was an actual progressive program like this, but
right.
And this next one is really different, and maybe this is what you're talking about, Chris, or maybe not. Pickleball training.
That's right. That's it.
Okay, that's the one. I guessed it. Okay, so this is strength, endurance, and agility for pickleball program. It features professional pickleball champion Catherine Parenteau. So it's a mix of exercises inspired by her training regimen designed to help you feel confident and perform your best on the court. I did not know you were into pickleball.
Well, I'm not. Well, I am now. Oh. So, little story. I'll keep it short. I played a boatload of tennis in high school and college. And then after that, you know, married and kids, you know, like no tennis.
Yeah. Right.
So people have been bugging me. Let's go play pickleball. So my Saturday morning is my first introduction to pickleball this coming Saturday morning. So I'll tell you all about it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to get into it. I just get too competitive, Tom. Bad words come out of my mouth and, you know, things like that.
So you're up and coming. Okay.
That's right. There you go. Yep. I'll keep you posted.
So you're going to end up challenging the champion here at some point.
I doubt that, unless he's a really old guy.
So pickleball training. We also have, some new yoga program. Mm-hmm. Helps you improve peak poses. That's what they're focusing on there. Mm. Introduction to breathe meditation. So this is it will support managing stress, boosting energy, and enhancing focus. So these are 5 10-minute meditations. So that'll be nice.
That's good stuff.
Yep. And then we have some new artist spotlight series, including Janet Jackson, Coldplay, Bruno Mars, and Kendrick Lamar. So these are playlists to help you with different types of training, cycling, strength, dance, all that kind of stuff. And new Time to Walk sessions with Adam Scott. And I don't know these other people. Rita Ora. Daddy Yankee, not sure. I've heard of Tiffany Haddish. Steve Aoki, Lana Condor, and Maddie Ziegler. Okay, I know two of those. Three, maybe three. anyway, New Time to Walk, those are great. And then a guest trainer, Alex Wong. He's a dancer choreographer, so he's going to bring some of that to some workouts. And then Strava collaboration. This is interesting. So new integration to the Strava app with a special Fitness Plus trial offer for Strava subscribers. Aren't they a competitor of sorts for this?
Well, you can't beat them, join them.
I guess. So, I mean,
right.
Is this Apple's way of like trying to bring in more Strava people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe there's an acquisition in the horizon.
That's what I would say. Just buy them and you get them all.
Yeah, right.
You get every one of them. But yeah, it's not how Apple works. So,
well, like a year ago, there was a rumor going around that Apple was buying Peloton. You know, that never materialized at all. So maybe this is where it's going.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah, same.
Because that's a company on the decline. You know, it sounds like a bargain, but sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Strava's got quite a community. So,
yes. They're very strong. Okay. What else is going on? We knew this was coming, but it's official now because we got a new year going here. But Apple has pulled the remaining Lightning based devices from European stores. So they're no longer selling the iPhone SE, the iPhone 14 in Europe. Because the EU has shifted to USB-C, that's now mandatory. So the iPhone SE, the iPhone 14, 14 Plus, and then the Lightning-based Magic Keyboard have been pulled from Apple's online stores in the Netherlands, France, Norway, and Germany. So you can still get those, I think, in the U.S.
Right.
Yeah. And other countries outside of the... what is it, 30 member states that are a part of this. So that's part of Apple's big push the past couple of years to switch over. They just kind of squeaked that in under the radar, didn't they?
Yeah, sure did. They timed that one perfectly.
They waited to the last minute to just to pull everything, change everything. Which I think is why we got a mouse that still charges from the bottom.
Yep.
They didn't have time apparently to redo the whole thing. They just said switch the port, we'll deal with it later, which they are. Anyway, Lightning is going away. There
it's gone.
I mean, I think you can still buy some of these Lightning devices in the US, right? I guess as far as stock goes,
probably.
So it won't be long before there will be no more. And Lightning will be
or something better. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of like, not to take us down a rabbit hole, but like, I don't know. I mean, I'm conflicted. A standardization is good, but then what happens when you have the next USB version? And when does that get upgraded? And, you know.
Well, that was the whole argument when the EU first did this.
Yeah.
Was who are they to say what the entire world must shift to?
Yeah.
Not to mention locking it into a technology that may become obsolete, right? Down the road, if something better comes along, are they going to pass new legislation and make that the new thing? You know,
Yeah, you run by based upon what the politicians want
versus kind of what the consumer demands.
What the innovation the is,
what the market pushes for. So, if there was a new system that came out that was 30 times better than what USB-C is, consumers would flock to that, right?
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like taxi cabs versus Uber. You know,
what's
good for
bit.
The people versus what the government wants, right? So,
So anyway, we shall see. But so Lightning becomes kind of like the old what was prior to Lightning.
Pins, right? Wasn't it the pin? The 30 pin.
It
becomes like the 30 pin, right?
Yeah.
It's another bin on my shelf of cables and adapters that I will put away and never use again.
Yeah, but you'll hang on to them for the next 10 years.
Of course. Just like I have a whole bin of 30 pin connectors and
you do not.
Devices. I do. Of course I do. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got your New Year's resolution for you, Tom, if you want it.
Hey, I have an old iPad Nano that uses that for a charger.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
If you need anything, let me know. I've got plenty. You remember the iPod dock that you would stick it in and it would stand up had a 30 pin in the back? I got a bunch
of those.
And all the cables that go with it. Yep. Yep, those were the days. I've got a virtual graveyard of old technologies, old standards, I guess you'd say. All right, moving on. Speaking of, I don't want to say outdated, but speaking of out of production, the Apple Vision Pro.
I was like, wow.
Now, they're not sure because Apple's never going to officially acknowledge this. But based on suppliers and everything else, they have ceased production of this device. And I guess they're just relying on current stock for the moment until the new version comes out. And apparently they have a lot of leftover parts in different parts of the country because their sales forecasts were off quite a bit. Product did not do as well as Apple hoped. So it is currently out of... Now, when I say this is weird. It's not vintage. It's not obsolete. What do you call something that's just out of production?
Yeah, out of production.
It's in between, though. It's not dead. You can still buy it. It's still in flux, right? It's weird. I don't know what the term for it is, but... now they're saying the new one that they're working on is supposed to be, and by the way, they canceled the version two of this completely and decided to focus on a lower cost version.
Good move.
And even that one, they said suppliers, have been told to get ready to produce components, for between 500,000 or 600,000, which is half of what they were told for the first one. Yes. So they're thinking that the second one will sell even less. And my thought is, why even do it? If that's what your projection is, you know, that faith in this product is dying.
They have to...
Go ahead.
Kind of have to just... This is also an also-ran type of scenario. I don't know.
But also
they have to kind of compete. Yeah.
If it does pick up, because I'm making this up, they say it's $1,200 and it still does a lot of what the current version does. It all depends on the supply chain, right? So if they're cutting this forecast down by half, but you know, the supply chain to ramp up with an increased demand, you know, there's a place where that crosses, right? And they can fulfill the larger demand if it picks up. And then I guess you'd rather have stock outs than have a million of them sitting in a warehouse.
Yeah, I can't think of, in the history of Apple, a product that's done this.
Yeah, same here. I can't think. They've canceled things we've talked about before.
Oh, sure.
But they've never ramped up something and then stopped it.
Oh, I know what it is. It's mostly dead.
Mostly dead.
This is Hello, Princess Bride.
There you go.
On hiatus. Maybe it's on hiatus or between seasons or something like that.
Mostly dead is nice. On hiatus, I like that too, though. What's the status of your product? Well, it's mostly dead.
Not completely dead.
Not completely dead. Or do you go into the Monty Python skit? Right. It's
the parrots.
It's an X product.
It had so much potential. I just need it to be, you know, affordable so that you can use it as an external monitor. They got kind of stretched a little further
Okay, but let's be realistic. It's $3,500.
I know.
Or more if you buy, you know, you get the accessories, the lenses. You're talking $5,000, right? They cut the price in half. Even with the accessories, it still costs you $2,500. They're not going to sell that many.
No, it's got to be $1,000.
Yeah. The price killed this product.
Did any of their other monitors suffer the same fate? Or are they just like, well, not many people bought it?
What do you mean, monitors?
They're big. They're monitors. Any displays, right? Like this is, you know, for all intents and purposes, a unique display with a way of interacting with it, right? Like how many of the XDR displays did they sell?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, they don't sell those to normal consumers.
Well,
they sell those to professionals.
Well, you can say the same thing about the Vision Pro.
I guess, but maybe then you're right that it's not so much the price as it is the interaction, the fact you have to put it on your head.
Yeah.
Right. You can't. You can sit in front.
Right.
If you want to sit in front of a monitor for 12 hours, have at it. If you put a Vision Pro on your head for 12 hours, you're going to have a hard day.
Well, you won't be working the next day.
Yeah, right.
You may have a headache.
I don't know. Yeah, it's I still haven't tried it on, y'all. I mean, it's like one of those things. But every article I read where folks who have tried it or used it for a short period of time, a couple of hours, whatever that is, it's an amazing experience is what I'm taking away from it. But
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because the only thing – and I understand how transformative it could be and actually is for people who try it on, right? It's like you're glimpsing a piece of the future, right? Just a small part of it. And that's exciting. And I think the last time this happened to Apple was the touch interface. The first time you ever saw that work, your mind was blown. It's like, because you'd never seen anything like it before. But Apple perfected it into a product that most people, now again, was expensive, but not as expensive.
Yeah.
And that became the iPhone. But, it's like I can see where they went with this. Once they got it going, they're like, hey, this is going to be the iPhone all over again. But not, you know, it just didn't come to fruition. I don't know. It's kind of sad that they've reached this point.
It is. Well, they're not giving up, and innovation is hard, and all the easy stuff's been invented.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. But anyway, it's an X product. I think it's not going to be make. It's not. It's like I said. Even if they came out with one at half the price, it won't take off. It won't. I say this as a huge Apple fan. I'm so disappointed that this is the route it went.
Kind of sucks. Have to change the form factor, though.
Yeah,
it's just too big on your face. And weight wise, I mean, it's just not comfortable. I mean, the concept of it being shaped like traditional glasses, that could even help you correct your vision. That is an amazing type of feat.
And that's a different product.
Yeah, it's a different product.
That's a completely different product. That would be amazing. And I wish they had put all this money and effort into that.
Yeah.
Because it would sell like crazy. But they had this vision of what the future of spatial computing would be. But it's not for the masses, obviously. Not yet.
Yeah, you imagine.
A little too far.
You can put in the AirPods and get a hearing test, put on the Vision Pro and get an eye test.
Yeah.
And then it would. You know, I mean, all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's kind of amazing.
But if Apple had come up with, the regular type of glasses that, you're right, can change prescription for you, that gives you relevant information, you know, at a glance in your eyes, in front of you, but not full blown screens.
Yeah.
That's doable.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, the whole changing the prescription thing at liquid lens is doable, and I would have loved to see an Apple push that,
something like that.
Technology
yeah.
I mean, and perfect yeah. it. Yeah.
Just the amount of money you spend on glasses every year, I mean, over time it pays for itself.
Right. But, you know, we think of the Apple Watch as an extension of the phone, right? That's mm-hmm. how it initially came out. It has adapted to be its own thing. I mean, you still need a phone, right? But mm-hmm. it is becoming more and more independent. I would have seen glasses that do what I'm talking about, similar to the watch. They're an extension yeah. of your phone with the relative information as a wearable that you don't have to take your phone out of your pocket right. to access. To me, that would have been a perfect thing for them mm-hmm, to do. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. anyway.
Huh. Somebody did the math.
Yeah, certainly.
Or someone fell in love with this. at the vision. Right. Somebody right. fell in love with the vision of the Vision Pro. Mm-hmm. And indeed. This is what we got. Anyway, sad. It's out of production for the moment. Yeah, you know it's bad. I put like an alert for news stories for Apple Watch, which is how I keep up with stuff that's going on. I put an alert for the Vision Pro when it first came out. I kind of ignore those now.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I don't even
yeah.
really look at them. I get them. I mm-hmm. look at the email. I'll skim them. But there's no news. There's no, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of sad. Okay. Moving on. that's kind of sad. That's sad to say too, right? It's what Apple should do with the Vision Pro. Moving on. Apple will pay $95 million to settle a Siri privacy lawsuit.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
$35.
Mm-hmm. Each, what, $20 a person or something? Anyway,
wow. Big time.
This was over 5 years ago. They were hit with a lawsuit of unlawful mm-hmm. and intentional recording of Siri interactions. Now, on the surface, that sounds horrible. Now, the case has come to an end because Apple's agreed for this settlement. That does not mean Apple said, or that does not mean that Apple said it was guilty in doing anything wrong.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right.
They just want it settled and done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So apparently this was in 2019, the lawsuit alleged that Apple recorded conversations without their consent, and those conversations were shared with third-party services, which led to targeted ads. All of this was related to the Hey Shlomo voice activation feature. Mm. So that, and they say they may receive up to $20 per device, including the watch, by the way, phones mm-hmm. and the watch. Mm-hmm. Apple denied wrongdoing in agreeing to the settlement. So since then, what Apple has done since this 2019 lawsuit is an internal review of Siri-related practices, including the use of contractors, new permissions prompts for Siri auto recording on Apple devices, and a privacy system that we all know, ask app not to track. Mm-hmm. All of that came from mm-hmm. this. So, what do you think of this? I think it's was a third party that was doing this, probably different apps, where you were using that information that it got when you used Shlomo. I don't think Apple, because Apple does not sell your data. They do not sell your information to serve up ads. This had to be third party, but mm-hmm. Apple is ultimately responsible for it, mm-hmm. right? That's why there's this loss. But the way this is stated, it sounds like Apple did this on purpose.
Oh, so you're saying a third party who yes. had access to the yes. voice data recordings used it for...
To sell that data to serve up ads, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that they've since...
I wonder what that... third party was.
I don't know, but you see the internal review, including the use of contractors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
So somebody was doing something they shouldn't. Hmm. So anyway, it was a big mess for Apple. They've settled it. By the way, somebody said they didn't check the math on this, but they noted that the $95 million settlement equals to about 9 hours of profit for Apple.
was just about to say the same thing. It's about $1 million an hour, right? Yeah. $1 million a minute or something. I forget. But yeah, it was like a half a day's of revenue or something.
Yeah. Not if, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A day, a work day's.
A work day. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they settled it. It's like, it's not worth dragging this out, costing them more money to fight it.
Yeah. We all get $20 and the lawyers get $35 million.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I think Apple may have hopefully learned its lesson here, that they need to keep a better eye on things. And I think they have. I think they've really pushed for the privacy thing.
They have. Know. Yeah. They've marketed the heck out of it, too. You know, not really recently, but when they first went to kind of change their strategy, it was a pretty big piece of their marketing strategy.
Right. Speaking of... Speaking of not privacy, but it's kind of related to that. Apple intelligence summaries are still screwing up headlines.
Oh yeah, I get this all the time.
Big time. But apparently the BBC, UK's BBC is the biggest complainer here about this. Several of their stories were summarized incorrectly by Apple. And they're not happy about it.
Apple doesn't speak British.
They don't, apparently not.
some of the errors were pretty significant.
Yeah. Well, and I thought this was an interesting comment that Apple has yet to publicly comment on the complaints, but Tim Cook did acknowledge that inaccuracies would be a potential issue back in June. He mentioned this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
While the results would be of very high quality, the CEO admitted that it may be short of 100%.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So that's just covering your bases there. But we knew this was going to happen. Now, do you read summaries and immediately think that's it, or do you click on them and read them?
It's totally clickbait. Like, I read these things that didn't sound right. I'm like, what?
And you click on it. I'm like, but it wasn't done as clickbait.
No, it wasn't.
It was an error, right?
Yes, the AI learned from clickbait writers.
Yeah. AI is not perfect. So, I mean, I don't know. How can it screw up just a summary of where? I mean, I guess it just gets things in the wrong order.
That's what it looked like.
I'm sure if it's reading the full article. That's what I'm thinking. Mm. Like it's reading the headline and the summary that was given.
Right.
And so it's got a lack of data to actually make a proper, headline or summary.
I can see that. So you're saying it's reading a summary of a full article and a headline.
Yeah.
And making its own headline and summary. So certainly,
you're summarizing a summary, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And you would think that this is something that Apple Intelligence could do really well, right? Mm-hmm. Given all this information, that it's not there should be no hallucinating.
I was reading through the article too, trying to see if there's any comments about it. But the whole thing about AI, be it reading something or learning, was validate and verify. Is there no human verifying this before they released it?
Oh no! Yeah. In fact, They state in this article that fixing the accuracy can also be tough, since Apple does not actively monitor what users are seeing on their devices.
Yeah.
That's part of its user privacy. It doesn't know what it's giving you as an individual, right? Mm-hmm. So that makes it almost impossible to troubleshoot.
Yeah. It's also all the AI, the summarization is happening on the device as well. So whatever it's collecting, it's like Apple doesn't get it back and go.
How is your? Do you guys get your summaries of mail?
Mm-hmm.
Has that been accurate? Your notifications
it's
on mail.
It used to be a little bit more summarized, but now it's become less summarized. It used to try to do that.
Yeah.
But now it's just like kind of regurgitating the headline. So, the subject line. Sorry.
Of the email. Yeah. Well,
of the email.
I've been seeing them with some of them are really good. They're like, okay, I don't need to really actually read this email if you know, I was waiting for an answer for something and it told me right there in the summary, right? The notification.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. This is new territory, right? So there's going to be issues.
I don't actually get email from people anymore. I get email from like marketers.
That's right.
And so it's the same summary.
Yeah. My Mac mail.
Or bills.
My Mac mail is nothing, right? It's my Outlook for work is where the work
right.
stuff. And no one sends me email anymore. I'm trying to think the last time a person said, hey, Chris, let's do this. I'm like, doesn't happen.
Yeah, you text me at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm talking more business than personal. But,
But,
well, take it from a guy who does no summaries on his phone. None, zero.
None.
I don't do it. Because, you know, it's just stuff that flies up in your phone. And, well, I'll talk about one of the things I like, not this week, but probably in the next week, next show or week after that is what I did last year about not being on my phone all the time. And that was part of it, is just getting rid of summaries. Mm. So I couldn't tell you if I've getting clickbait or not, because I just don't even do it.
Yeah. Well, isn't this a general good rule of thumb for anything on the internet? Don't believe what you read.
Yes.
Verify. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't just take it at face value. And this just boils it down to something even shorter, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Just because you read it doesn't mean you shouldn't click on it and get more and verify that that's what it actually means, at least for now.
Yep.
That's what I would do. But
trust but verify.
Yeah, according to the internet, Tennessee was going to be under 0 degrees for like a week with 3 feet of snow. Right, that the internet. Yeah, that's what the internet was telling me, and it's going to be 25 degrees, and we're going to get some rain. Right, so I don't read the internet much about that.
Right. So anyway, Apple has a bit of work to do here.
A little bit,
sure, right?
Because this can quickly become a problem from a PR standpoint and trust, right? Which is the one thing Apple did not want to do, and why they were taking it so slow with Apple Intelligence.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure you clicked on this understanding when you turned on Apple Intelligence. I mean, it's a toggle, right?
You would hope so.
You opted into this.
Right.
Just realized.
Which means, by the way, you can opt out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can turn it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing is people that see the headline believe it.
Yeah.
Not even if these stories don't come out, they don't even see these stories that they don't have any backup to say, oh, well, this happened, right? They just think it happened.
Right. It's like something you read on social media. Do you believe it?
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. No.
Or do you think you need to like check other sources to
all the time
verify?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Corroborate?
Trust but verify? No, that's not even that anymore.
It's not that.
Verify.
When you need more than one source, right?
Corroborate.
Corroborate.
Corroborate. That's what. Okay. Okay. Moving on. And by the way, it won't be the last time we talk about this, I'm sure.
Probably not.
Okay, beginning of the new year, let's take a quick little look back, because as the new year turns and new products come out, Apple discontinues products. It's kind of what we were alluding to before. But let's look at some of these products that Apple has now discontinued. And there's a list of them. There's like, how many are there? Like 15 of them.
15.
First one here is the iPad Mini 6. And most of these are because it came out with a new model, which is what they did. In October, they came out with a new iPad Mini model. So the iPad Mini 6 is no more. Number two, fine woven iPhone cases. We talked about this before.
Surprise!
Yes!
Not really.
Well, so how long they debuted this with the iPhone 15 last year? So this didn't last a year.
Yeah, basically 15 months at max.
But what's so odd is they still make the fine woven MagSafe wallet and Apple Watch bands.
They must have made a lot of them. I don't know. You think this is actually new manufacturing, or is this sitting there in inventory?
Or does it have to do with the amount of real estate on the phone case versus a watch versus the wallet? Could be that. It's too visible of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they have yet to find a replacement.
Mm-mm.
They didn't bring back leather. They're not going to do that.
Mm.
So they got this was their their big eco-friendly version, you know.
The Apple iPhone case quantity and quality, or I should say quantity of choice, is not there at all. So yeah, they need some new cases, new colors. I don't know. They can make a lot of money and they're not, because I have the most boring cases now.
They're all the same. Everyone's got the same grippy kind of case.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this was one of their, again, maybe it's becoming more, happening more often, but a kind of a rare misstep for them. You know, they don't usually do this. Anyway, moving on. Number three, MacBook Pro M3. Why? Because it came out with the M4. All right. So now you have the M4, the M4 Pro, the M4 Max chipsets. Thunderbolt 5 is in them now. More RAM upgrades, center stage, all these different things they brought to it. So the M3 MacBook Pro is no more. Mac Mini, of course, they completely redesigned that. So the M2 Mac Mini is no more. So yeah, the new one with the new size, M4, M4 Pro chipsets in it. Fantastic machine. Now this one, I don't know how long this one lasted. Must have been a very short amount of time, because I don't even remember this being a product. The M3 iMac. Remember the M1? I don't think they did a 2. They did a 3. I don't even remember when it came out. But now we're at M4.
One of those quiet releases, right?
It must have been
one of those press releases versus an event.
Yeah.
So the M3 iMac is. Could be a rare thing in the future if you have one. Might be worth more than its the original price. Yeah, only made between these dates. Anyway, they jumped to M4, added more additional Thunderbolt ports, center stage capability, 16 gigs of RAM now by default, but the same price and new colors. So it was a big refresh. And I think a lot of these, or most of these so far, are upgrades Apple has made to make things work better with Apple Intelligence.
Yeah, for sure.
So even if, because typically I don't think you would have gotten an upgrade this quickly on the iMac. I think you would have waited another year, but they couldn't. And then the next two are the iPhone 15 Pro and 15 Pro Max, of course. When they come out with the new phones, the old ones are toast. The iPhone 13... That's been out this long? It came out in 2021, but that's been discontinued. Interesting. There's no replacement, right? It's just that, well, other than the 16, but the that model had hung around, I guess, for price. And we'd already talked about these, the Lightning Magic accessories. So that's the Magic Mouse, the Magic Trackpad, and the Magic Keyboard, all to USB-C. Apple Watch Series 9, of course. Once the 10 came out, the 9 is gone. No more. Remaining Lightning AirPods. So they came out with the AirPods 4 and the AirPods Max USB-C. So all those remaining Lightning AirPods are no more. All been switched out. So that's cleaning out quite a bit for the new year, isn't it? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Anything to make the product line a little more streamlined is good.
Right.
Now, the other thing Apple did this year was they broke a 13-year hardware streak. So for the past 13 years, they have always announced a major new hardware line or product, if you will. This is the first year they did not do that as an announcement. Now, the thing I immediately thought about was, wait, what about the Vision Pro? Well, it was announced in 2023 and released
in
2024. So it wasn't, there was actually no new announcements of hardware products that weren't just upgrades to existing lines. 13-year streak. They have that. That's amazing.
It is. And the iPad Mini is 12 years old. I mean, 13 years old. That was the last one, I think, right? That started the streak, I believe. I didn't know it was that old.
Yeah. Now, next year, they're going to start over again, because we're going to have this new Smart Home Command Center, which is going to start a whole new product line for Apple, right? Mm-hmm. Focusing on the smart home. So, again, something they should have been doing all along, but they're, you know, better late than never, I guess.
So they don't get an off year like we get an off day of exercise to keep this.
Well, they did. They took it this year. they don't. So anyway, broke that streak. Yeah. That's interesting. What else is going on? Speaking of products coming and going, the Apple Watch Series 4 is now considered vintage.
Yeah.
So
that was a good watch.
It was a very good watch.
Yeah, it was the first big change, wasn't it? The first one that was kind of new and improved and bigger.
Right. Yeah. It was the first major redesign. Mm-hmm. Larger display, thinner bezels, rounded corners, all the stuff we now think of with the Apple Watch.
It's the one that came out with fall detection. I was always curious as to why they kept the Series 3 around longer. Sold that instead of the Series 4. Yeah.
The 3 lasted forever.
Yeah, it did.
It did.
Now, for those unfamiliar, Apple considers a product to be vintage when it's out of distribution for more than 5 years. When it hasn't been distributed for more than 7 years, it's considered obsolete. Mm. So, the countdown clock begins on the Vision Pro. Year one is now. It's got 4 more years before it becomes vintage. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're talking about. So that's the last upgrade, I think, for the Watch Series 4 was OS 10. That's as far as you can take it. Mm-hmm. I keep saying I've got these older watches sitting in a drawer. I need to, get them out, get them all up to date, and keep them charged or keep them running. I don't know. I just don't know what to do with them all.
What you said right there is kind of interesting just in itself, that you've got all these watches. Remember in the day where your grandpa and your dad had one watch for the whole entire life you knew them? It's funny that I think I've given away a lot of mine to kids.
Yeah, I do that too, but I still end up with a bunch of them.
Yeah, I think I've got 3 or 4. Still of especially, the 10 yeah. that I bought, but
especially when they come back. Right? Yeah.
True.
They get a new one. Yeah, they get a new one or whatever, and you get the old one back. So it's like, I know there's the tiny pod thing, right? I keep thinking about buying that and maybe reviewing it, but it's that little thing that you put the watch into and it turns it into like a little tiny iPod. I might try that out. It might be good for one of them. It's kind of fun. I mean, I know I have an old phone that I put in one of those case holders that makes it look like an iMac. You know, when you slide it in, the screen becomes the screen of the iMac. Those rubber ones, we reviewed those a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I have one of those set up in a room, and I use it just for music, the phone.
Oh, no kidding. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I could start to do stuff like that with the watches. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think what you should do is get them all and put them in a shadow box and then make sure they have power to them. They're all charged put different faces on them or different, time of the different cities and put it on your wall.
Oh, wow. How would you power that?
I don't know.
You need to find one of those Apple tables.
Yeah. Right. I want one of those tables.
Oh, yeah. That'd be so cool. Well, shoot, you just finished your house remodeling. You missed this one time. They could have put something up on the wall. They just put this shadow box on and all 10 of your watches power up.
Can you keep, I guess you could keep them.
So do different things.
How would you keep them awake?
Oh, man, you're going too deep now. Just figure it out.
Okay. The older ones, it's a lot harder to keep them awake.
I guess the shadow box would have to move around to kind of simulate walking. You know, so like
it's,
maybe
it's like Apple Watch winder.
Yeah.
Well, it's like those always see those in movies. Like, and somebody's got this amazing closet, and they open a drawer, and here's like a dozen watches, high end watches that need to be movement to keep them wound.
Yeah,
and they're in these special things that they put them on that keep it moving, right? That's what you need for the Apple Watch.
That's what you need.
You need a drawer like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my summer project. Okay. moving on. So we just talked about what Apple did in 2024, what they got rid of and all that. Let's talk about this year, 2025. What can we expect from the Apple Watch this year? What, I know it's early, but there's a lot of speculation already out there as to what Apple, what it's going to be like, right? What are we going to do? We've mentioned some of these rumors, but to put that into perspective, you know, this was not a ultra year, 2024, for Apple, right? They only came out with a new color, right? So based on that, we should get an Ultra 3 that's going to be a little more more redesigned, if you will. So what we're looking at here, according to these rumors, is a faster chip, right? A system on a chip for better performance and efficiency, an upgraded 4-core neural engine to help the watch suppress background noise better during phone and FaceTime audio calls. And it might, and we mentioned this before, switch to a MediaTek modem, right? Gets rid of that Intel and then uses this. And also the emergency SOS via satellite that we talked about could possibly be on the new Ultra. So that way you could send text messages even when you're out of Wi-Fi or mobile network range. And that would work if you didn't have a cellular connection on your watch either, right? That'd be a way to send out an emergency signal. It could also possibly have blood pressure monitoring, which we also talked about, that it wouldn't actually give you a reading, but would let you know indications that there might be something you need to look at. And the overall profile of the watch. It might have the same metal back as the Apple Watch Series 10. It might integrate the antenna into the device housing, which could reduce the thickness of the watch and the weight, and could also boost the charging speed. So there's a lot of little improvements here that I think they might be making for this next version of the Ultra. And we'll call it the Ultra 3, I guess. So thinner design, possibly no bezels is another thing.
You get that edge
display.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Would be amazing.
Risky.
So,
risky. I feel like the bezel was there, like I could bang it around.
Yeah, especially on the Ultra. It's pretty robust.
Right.
That's a fair thought, Vincent. That, yeah.
Yeah, you can have some cracks there.
So, but what I don't see in all these rumors of what to expect for the watch is what are we going to get with the Series 11? Not the Ultra, right?
Yeah, I think the Series 11 is going to continue down the path of being thinner and, you know, more edge to edge and more, a little more delicate, I would think.
So maybe a slightly off year on that one as well.
Yeah.
As the Ultra was this past year. Oh, the other rumor is different colors for the Ultra.
Yeah, titanium colors.
And I'm sorry. The other thing we were not mention here. Where is the? Sorry, I'm getting confused. I got two different stories here that I'm jumping between. But the other rumor was, where did it go? Was the new SE, which could possibly be in a plastic case and come in kid friendly colors. We might see that this year too.
Yeah. Didn't they talk about it was the same price as well, wasn't it?
Starting at $250, yeah.
$250, $239 or $250, yeah.
Yeah, $249, I think is
$249, yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good deal. That's not bad, you know. And I know that it's not the same technology, but they keep bleeding a little more into the SE each time, I think.
Yeah, so that sounds pretty accurate to me that the Series 11 will have minor things in it, and it will be a big year for the SE and for the Ultra 3. Does that sound about right? For this coming year? I don't know how excited I am about any of these, but
well, we're at the point. It's just minor things. You know, they got the easy stuff done, right? So now they're continuing to upgrade some of the harder stuff, maybe versus the easier stuff. But until there's a breakthrough, it's not going to be much year over year, Tom.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, but, you know, I guess coming out with the Ultra, that was pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. That was a whole different look and, you know, changed everything about it. Mm-hmm. And but I guess we're not going to get that for a while, a whole different look and feel.
No.
Yeah.
To the watch. All right.
They're collecting a lot of data right now. I mean, Yeah. Just thinking through, I mean, like all of the hardware has gotten to a point where it's like, well, what do we do with all this information, right? How do we process it? Maybe use AI to do predictions, all that stuff to actually give the user some more information. Mm-hmm.
Right, but to give someone a reason to upgrade their watch, mm-hmm. what would that be? Because software can usually work on older models.
Yeah, it's going to
hardware-wise, what gets you to change, right?
Right, right.
So I mean, yeah, AI on device. I mean, that's how are you going to get AI to run on the Ultra? Or does it need to?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that it can. Mm-hmm. Can it? Maybe.
I don't know.
It's like, maybe not natively, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I go to Tim Cook. I got an idea, Tim. Okay. See this Mac Mini with this M4 chip and all that? I want to take what's in here and put it in the watch. Can you do that?
Shrink it down.
Shrink it down. Then you can run it on device. See?
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, then they can use it to, then you can connect it to a 27-inch screen and run, you can use your watch to run your business, right?
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah, I think, to your question, Tom, I don't think there's much to upgrade. There's just not.
Yeah, there's not. There's, I mean, colors get me excited about a new look, maybe, but. Mm-hmm. All right, because it's the beginning of the year and end of the year, we have, for the first time, multiple patents to talk about. From Apple. We haven't had a whole ton of them, but get ready, sit down, take some notes, because there's like, I got four different stories here to talk about, and I don't quite understand any of them, but we'll go through them. The first one was at the end of the year, Apple won 75 patents, some of which covered smart bands that detect touch, biometrics, and hand gestures. Then they had like a ring and projection device patents as well. Apple Watch smart bands with embedded micro-machined ultrasonic transducers to detect touch, biometrics, and hand gestures, and more. So this is like a really powerful band, right? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Right.
That can do all kinds of things. But also mentioned in here is that they could assist with virtual reality and mixed reality experiences. This sounds like something they're trying to do with Vision Pro, but...
Yes, the ring and the controller and all that.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'll put a link in the show notes on all of these. You can see little diagrams of what they are, how they work. But that's quite a mouthful of a patent here. Anything else you want to mention on this one?
I'm just excited for the ring. I mean, they need to bring out a ring.
Yeah.
If anything. I mean,
they do. They do.
The ring or the, I guess, a bracelet. Or something, mm-hmm. You know, that would feed information to the watch, all of this stuff. I mean, the more devices that they have that are kind of working together to, I guess, triangulate for any health type of issues or anything like that, that would be extremely useful.
I'm thinking that the ring, unfortunately, I'm thinking that the ring patents they have are all just preventative patents that I don't know that they have any desire or push to make a ring at this point. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just don't.
There haven't been many rumors about it at all.
So, yeah. I mean, they're going after Aura, right? I mean, that's sort of.
Yeah. Of course. Man, this patently Apple website is just painful to load.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's, because it's all these ads. Oh my God.
It is.
Yeah. It's painful. I've had to reload each one several times. All right. Next patent here. Apple invents a future Apple Watch band with integrated multi nodes I can't even pronounce this. You guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're here.
Sorry. Let me start that over. Again, this is so weird. It keeps reloading. So this next one, Apple invents a future Apple Watch band with integrated multi-nodes to support multiple high-end sensors and added batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a modular version of a band.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a bracelet.
It is, like that's what it looks like.
You can pop like, these things off and on to do different things.
Right.
Okay. Kind of weird, but...
one piece will be a pill box. You know, you can put your pills in there.
Yeah, why not? very strange. Anyway, they have a patent for it or applied for a patent. What is it? They...
Got approved,
they,
right?
They published a patent application. Mm-hmm. No, it's an application.
Application.
Yeah.
So it's not something granted yet.
I'm feeling like if you're an Apple engineer and you're like submitting patent applications, you get a bonus or something.
It's got to be. I mean, they do it every week.
A lot of companies do that. I know IBM.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I worked at IBM a long time and that was a big deal. Not that I did any patents because I was in sales, but... there was a huge deal to get patents submitted and approved. That was, I believe it was a bonus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is this patent a build-your-own Apple Watch?
Essentially,
Because listen to this. The first enclosure contains processing circuitry, which may be implemented as an integrated processing unit. The second enclosure contains a battery. The third enclosure may contain memory. The fourth enclosure... may include communication circuitry, wireless communication circuitry, et cetera.
Modem.
And one or more additional enclosures may each include a different type of sensor, so temperature or other sensors and so on. This is a this is a DIY Apple Watch.
Basically.
It's componentized, configured and componentized,
What do you think of that?
Never see it. But to me, you know, the first thing that came out to me is like supply chain nightmare. I mean, the amount of inventory and, you know, all the elements of SKUs. I was like, this would be a nightmare to manage. But I don't know. It just seems kind of odd to me. And what the bands look like and feel like and how they work together.
There are apple slices.
you know, this is like... You know, you build your own PC, right?
Yeah, it is.
But it's a watch. So you buy the base model of whatever watch, and then you can add all these things to it.
Correct.
Yeah, potentially third-party components. Yeah.
So this is all CYA, right? They're never going to do this.
This is patent number 1,000 related to a watch band that we've talked about in 10 years, and we've seen zero.
That's a great point. In 10 years of doing this, how many of these watch band patents have we seen come to life? Zero.
Use Apple Intelligence to go back in all our shows and find out how many times we've talked about it?
It's insane.
Yeah.
So all of these are just preventative, right?
Yeah.
Defensive. Yeah, sure.
I don't know if preventative is the right word. They're ahead of it, right?
I was going to say, I don't know if they're preventative because the engineers really are thinking through things that want to create a nice technology. Not all of them are sitting behind their desk saying, oh, I can check mark that one because I just, you know, killed that company with this patent. That's an outcome, not an objective.
Right. But I would say preventative in that it prevents other companies from coming up with something like this because they thought of it first.
Yeah, it's very proactive.
Proactive. That's the word I'm thinking of. Proactive. So, that's why none of these come to life ever.
Yeah.
Well, IBM and their research center, I don't even know if they still do it, but up in New York, where was that? It was, you know, a really great research center. They had all the patents on the wall. And, like 1x2-inch plaque. Well, that's not a plaque, but... But you can go up there, read it, and see who did it, what the patent was. And they were, you know, it was amazing. It was amazing. I can't tell you how many patents IBM implemented. Probably 5% of them, right? But it's getting the patent is the important thing.
Right. But Apple's implemented 0%.
Well, for this. They have not. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. For Apple Watch bands, zero is their is their hit ratio here of creating anything for these patents?
For bands, yeah. I mean, they probably do 2,000 to 3,000 patents a year, I would guess, and they've done none on band. They've implemented none on bands, but I'm sure there's a number they've implemented.
Not only that, the original Apple Watch had a port.
That's right.
In the band enclosure that they got rid of.
Yeah. Right.
That they could have, you know, used to, maybe they were afraid third parties would start tapping into it.
The reserve shop, right?
Which they did. I think there was at least one that tried it and got shut down. Yeah. But
Right.
It's just like they went in the opposite direction here. Mm-hmm. Man.
I feel like they're holding out. They're just you know, piling this up and... Because they're going to need to make a cuff one of these days, or at least a miniature version to do proper blood pressure monitoring and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's something in there.
Well, I think that's just. Then again, I hate to say this, but you just look at the bottom line says we are selling enough of these and a very good profit without doing any of this other stuff.
Yeah.
So why put money into it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in the backlog.
Yeah.
At the very, very bottom.
All right, we got two more to go through. Two more. I promise. That's it. This next one is a patent that reveals that they're working on a next generation EMG sensor to assist with the gesture technology. We're talking about double tap here, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite technologies. Well, this, I guess, takes it even further with a different type of sensor. I'm not sure what this patent actually covers. Because the description of it sounds just like what we have now.
Just better.
Maybe better, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the way it's done. I don't know. But that tells me they're not, at least, they're thinking of it. They haven't given up on it, right? There might be more in the future.
Right.
So, and then the last one here, I promise, if it will load. Oh, my goodness. This website is so terrible. They invented a new... Apple Watch health feature that is designed to forewarn a user of a major health event like a seizure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this was, did they receive it? No, they've applied for it, right? Mm-hmm. I think this is just applying. It's called Detecting Health Events. I think whether it's an extension of the Apple Watch fall detection feature or a new independent feature is unknown. So not sure if it's there. But what's exciting about all this is that it uses everything together.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's doing what we want it to do, which is to take data from your phone, from your watch, from all everything, and come out with an idea that you may show signs of something happening and try to prevent it.
As long as it's not a summary of a summary.
As long as you don't summarize it.
Right.
You're going to get some bad reactions here. But for example, it would calculate the likelihood that a user is experiencing a seizure, right? Based on predefined threshold, right? It would generate an alert. Mm-hmm. And then contact, you know, emergency services or contact who you set, right, as a user to contact. And this is first time I read this before, and or Good Samaritans nearby. Does that mean my phone would go off if someone near me is having an event?
That's kind of neat. Kind of weird, but neat. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then it puts you in a position like, do I help them or not? And then if I help them, do I do it right then?
Shoot. Yeah. Now you know. Shoot.
Yeah. And then the other person's watching. Well, I let these 30 people know, and none of them help me. They're not very good people.
Right. Yeah. But hey, you know, and they use it again in here. They mentioned the Good Samaritan thing. So such indications can help the user prepare for the health event, leave the environment to attempt to avoid the health event. So this is like if you're in an area where they think it might happen, and or contact an emergency, contact emergency services, and or nearby Good Samaritans for assistance. So they mentioned it twice in here. And they're talking about using your watch, AirPods, phone, and I don't know why Vision Pro is stuck in there, but it is.
So, you know, if something, somebody's having an event on a plane and you've got your Vision Pro on watching a movie.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So, interesting. I love this. This is using the data, like we mentioned, to actually do something proactively. Like it. Love it. Okay. That concludes our patent section patent of the
corner.
Show.
That's right.
Patent corner. There you go. Anything else in the news before we move on?
I'm going to have one to shock you back to life.
The what?
A little widget. Wait,
it has to be over the heart, right? No, that ain't gonna work.
Just place this over your heart.
Yeah, you're about to have a heart attack. Please place your watch band on your heart. No, that wouldn't work. I don't think that'll work. By the way, I had a before I forget, call up the email here. I had, speaking of emails earlier, I do get them. This was from, we had a comment from a listener. Where is it? Oh, my goodness. Here it is. This came from Chris, just Chris, K-R-A-S. It said, hey, Tom, saw this on the news yesterday and had to wonder if you tried one out yet. I know you're the king of watch bands. And it's a link to a watch band with a concealed charger in it. She says, seems like a cool concept, but I'm curious how well it performs. Anyway, thought I'd toss it your way in case you were looking for stuff to talk about. So glad you guys have kept the show going all these years. Been a big fan from the very beginning. Thanks for what you guys do. Happy holidays, Chris. Well, thank you for that email, Chris. And this is an article from Cult of Mac, and I did see this, by the way, Chris. I did look at it. I just wasn't sure how useful this would actually be. It's a power band. It's $39.99. And basically what it is on the inside of your wrist area. It has what we just talked about, right? A little module mm-hmm. thing mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. is a charger. So it's a battery, you know, you charge it up and it holds mm-hmm. the power that you can then take. If you take your watch off, you just connect your watch to it, set it in it, and it will charge your watch. Mm. So kind of a neat idea. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I actually have a need for it for this type of thing, but I mean, I don't know about you. My watch, you know, power levels are okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how comfortable this would be to wear.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you guys can't see this because I didn't send you a link to it. But it, I don't know. It's almost like you take the puck that you charge the watch with mm-hmm. and put it on the back of the band. That's really what it is.
Ah, okay.
So I'm not sure how that would feel, right? Wearing something
right,
like that.
Right.
But interesting idea. And I have looked into some of these. I just haven't pulled the trigger and actually purchased one. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I could see if you were going to do a really long hike or something that would take all day and you're going to be out of contact with power, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Outside for a long time. This would be pretty useful. But I'm usually near an outlet somewhere.
Right.
Most of the time. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I can do that. But I do see where there is a case for this, a need. And that's not a bad price. $39.99 is not bad.
Yeah, I guess not. This is
for something like that.
For an Apple, something that works with your Apple device, sure.
Right. And let me put this in the show notes here real quick, guys, so you can see it. And you can tell me what you think of it. So I just added it there so you can have a look. Did you see it?
Reloading.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a, it looks like something Apple should have come up with a long time ago when the battery life was really bad. Mm-hmm. In fact, they probably had a patent about this at some point, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like it sounds very familiar. to this. Huh.
But that's not a bad price, right? $40
No, now,
it's I don't know. I don't know how much juice it holds.
That's what I was just about to ask.
Like, yeah.
Does it actually charge you back to full power? Or
just in like an emergency top off?
Yeah.
Like a boost. Fair point.
Definitely
worth it if you're going to be, like you said, trekking out in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. As an insurance policy too, because even though you may or may not, you know, I was even say airplanes now have, you know, full power to charge devices. Yeah. So it's not like it used to be traveling around the world.
Right. Well, in any case, thank you, Chris, for that, for thinking of me with the watch bands. I appreciate that. All right. Well, we'll get to what we like here in just a minute. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. You become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. So check out our page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right, what we like this week. I have a feeling we're going to get a little bit of AI here. Vincent, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so this is part of the Apple Intelligence Suite, which requires the iPhone 15 Pro, Pro Max, or 16 models, right, and iOS 18.1. So all of these things rely on the on-device Apple Intelligence, and I'm going to specifically talk about the photos cleanup functionality, which I really want to like, but it doesn't exactly always work the way that you want it to. And the results are, results may vary. So once you go to the photo app, you can choose on a photo, you can select a photo, and then there's this, you tap on the settings icon, and then an icon for cleanup, which looks like a little eraser. And it will then automatically start highlighting specific things like people in the background or things that it predicts that you don't want to be in the picture. And you can tap on them and it will try to remove them, or it will remove them, but then like try to fill in the background. It is not perfect. It's by no means. It will kind of put some random, I guess, imagery back there. Kind of like a visual hallucination, right? Like it imagines what's back there, right? And it fills it in.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, in terms of color and tone and everything else. And then you can also select and tap on something and use your finger to select an area that it can fill in or remove. And it's really good with any kind of hard edged inanimate objects, like we tried it on a lamp or a sconce on a wall, or a ball on a pool table,
right.
You know, things like that. That it's like on a flat, even surface, amazing results. Or someone just walking across a blue sky or something like that. It can just instantly remove them, and it's really great. But if you kind of, you know, everybody instantly does this, you know, you paint over someone else's face and see what happens. So it replaces it with some gnarly thing. You have no idea, but it's fun to play with.
Yeah,
it's a great progress type of thing in terms of being able to clean up things. You know, Tom, you know, my background is in Photoshop and cleaning things up. Yeah. We used to do this.
Oh, yeah. We did all the time.
On a day-in, day-out basis.
I still do it with my stuff here at work. Yeah. I still do it every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're always cleaning these things up, and you want to make it look as realistic as possible. It's really neat that you can do it instantaneous almost now.
Yeah.
But like you still want to brush. You want to still bust out the Photoshop brush and clean things up like the way it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool. It's really cool.
I mean, Samsung's had this for a while.
Yeah, but I don't know how are the results? I don't know.
And I have to say, when you see an ad for this, whether it's Samsung or Apple, they are absolutely best case scenarios.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Like you said, your results will vary a lot.
Right.
I want to get to the point where I can speak my changes.
That'd be cool.
Like call up a photo and say, okay, I want take that tree out of the background, extend the photo, you know, 20% to the right and it would fill in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing would be super powerful.
Zoom in and enhance. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Blade Runner. Right? Is that Blade Runner? Yeah, yeah. We're almost there, aren't we?
Almost.
We're getting close. Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to take, you know, I think Google has this. You take a series of pictures, mm-hmm. and then there's that one where that person's smiling or, mm-hmm. you know, and just basically blend them together.
Right.
And then choose the best outcome.
Yeah,
and,
right.
We're close. We're so close.
Have you seen those Photoshop fails that they post on Facebook sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Joke where someone will say, can you... You know, like they're asking someone to change a photo for them, and they do it very sarcastically.
Right.
Or
right.
Literally. Yeah. They're very funny.
They are. Well, I've used this a lot, Vincent, and I found the same as you. And in some cases, I'm like, wow, that really cleaned up the photo. And then some cases mm-hmm. not. And you know, but it's a first step.
It is, and it's the first step. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can only get. Let's put it this way: all of this Apple Intelligence stuff is the absolute worst it's ever going to be.
Sure. Yeah.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. It's only going to get better. We hope. Hopefully, mm-hmm. hopefully the weird things don't progress. but I have to believe that it's probably at its lowest point right now. But
oh yeah, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. got to be.
Right. All right, Chris. What do you like this week?
Tom, a couple quick things. One's tech, one isn't. First, kind of building on the Apple Intelligence that Vincent's talked about, using ChatGPT integration with our friend.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you just say, hey, so-and-so, use ChatGPT to do this. And, man, it works great. You get the colorful outline on your device telling you Siri's engaged. And then... on the screen, it says, hey, engaging ChatGPT. And it does take a little longer than when you used to get a response back. Here's what I found on the internet, right? And it gives you some crap answers. It gives you really solid answers. It might take anywhere between 15 and 30 seconds, depending on what you ask it, because it's going into ChatGPT and, you know, finding the answer for you. So I use it every day, all the time now. And also, I haven't done any research, but I have the full paid version of ChatGPT. If you have an mm-hmm. unpaid version, mm-hmm. I think it's still available on your device, but I think it limits you to so many maybe searches or something a week or a month or I don't know what it is. I probably should have had some more research done for what I like this week, but you still can use it. And I think that even if you don't have ChatGPT. So anyway... The Siri with ChatGPT is really nice. It's a nice upgrade to the Apple Intelligence. My non-technical is I went and saw the movie Complete Unknown. And being a Bob Dylan fan, I was kind of impressed. You know, it was a great movie. I didn't know Edward Norton can play the banjo, but he does extensively in the movie.
But can he? Really?
Well, I Googled it and said he learned to play.
Oh, he did. Okay.
But I'm like, there was some pretty intricate banjoing. And I'm like, was that him or not?
Right.
But just to keep it short, you know, like going to movies, I love, you know, I went to the Bob Marley movie earlier this year and I was not impressed. So I had low expectations and I came out of this one like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. it was before my time as far as age wise when he really came out. But I remember early on, you know, like my mom playing Bob Dylan. And I was like, oh, man, it brought back a lot of memories. And the movie is very well done. And I did a hell of a lot of fact checking. Mm-hmm. So if you go see the movie, most of that stuff was real. Really interesting stuff.
They did a
pretty
good job. Yeah.
They did, yeah. So anyway, I recommend it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Bob Dylan. I like some of his earlier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like some of his latest stuff. In between,
fair.
Is that fair? I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I think every songwriter between the age of 18 and like 25, their brain is just like, oh my god, I can just make it happen. Then you hit like 30, and you can't write anymore. It's just the way it is. Yeah. I don't know, but and then when you hit 50, all of a sudden you're creative again. So it's just kind of odd, but I can agree with you. I mean, his early stuff was just unbelievable. You listen to like Bob Dylan Essentials on Apple Music, and every mm-hmm. song is just a masterpiece.
Yes. I'll do a quick follow-up. This is not what I like this week, but a quick follow-up to that because it just popped in my head that last week. It's on Disney. There's a great documentary on Elton John. And it's about...
Yeah, I've seen that. I haven't called, watched it yet, though.
Never Too Late or something like that. But it's... it follows him with his the last tour he did that he just finished, right? Mm-hmm. His final mm-hmm. tour ever. And it keeps jumping back to his very beginnings. And it has a bunch of different interviews and things with this stuff. Being a huge Elton John fan, I knew a lot of this stuff. But even I learned some new things watching this that was kind of cool. And footage I had not seen before. So it's worth watching.
Yeah, it's on kind my list. I'm definitely, because mm-hmm. I yep. love Elton John and did see mm-hmm. his last concert in Nashville.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, 80-year-old guy went, 2 hours without stopping. I'm like, holy cow, mm-hmm. I want to be him, right? I wanted to
see his final one, and he did Houston. I couldn't make that one. Mm. But then he announced... Because of COVID and everything shifting, he announced a second Houston show. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to get to see it. And that show got canceled because of the Astros. Playoffs. So, yeah.
The cheating version or the real version of the Astros? No, I'm kidding.
Well, it was recent. So, there you go.
There you go.
But, yeah, it got canceled. So that he was going to do two shows here.
Interesting.
And he did the one. All right. What I like this week, is it's a feature of the Apple Watch that we all hope we never have to use, but I was reminded of it this week, and that is fall detection. So as a runner, I have probably in my 30 plus years, I guess, of running, tripped or lost my balance maybe only a couple of times, and only once have actually fallen to the ground. Those other times I've kind of caught myself before falling, not graceful, but I did recover. And when you log a lot of miles, it's inevitable that that's going to happen sometime. So my second fall happened this week. And my routine run around a small lake here by our neighborhood, and I've run this route hundreds, if not thousands of times. I know it well. It's my main running route. And I also have a habit of running with my head kind of tilted down, watching the road or sidewalk as I run. And every running workout on Apple Fitness and everything else I've ever seen tells you to keep your head up for your form, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I don't do that. It's a bad habit, but I guess it's kept me from tripping a lot more than I have. So anyway, I'm 2/3 of my way through this run. And I noticed some people on a bench over by the lake, and there's one guy standing up, and he's wearing this very strange outfit from a distance. It's at first I thought it looked almost like a hazmat suit. That's what caught my attention. But it was just like a brightly colored windbreaker hoodie outfit that he was wearing. Mm-hmm. He had the hood over his head, and it was pulled tight around his face. So just his face was peeking out of it, even though it wasn't windy. And it wasn't even that cold, but it caught my attention. And I took my eye off the sidewalk just for a moment. And as I started to turn back and look at the sidewalk on that same area I've run thousands of times, that's all it took. My left toe clipped a raised segment of the sidewalk, and I went down. And I landed on my right hand, the side of my hand, to break the fall. Mm-hmm. And the momentum sent me into a rolling somersault.
Oh, my
gosh. I ended up in a sitting position, almost like a, how they finish a gymnastics thing, right? And I completely missed the grass on both sides of the sidewalk. I hit only concrete. And anyway, I immediately got up, looked at the sidewalk like it had done something to me, right? Like it had jumped up. And then my watch immediately alerted me that it seemed I had taken a hard fall. And I've seen this screen before, but only with minor movements that weren't really falls, right? I'm playing with our dog or doing whatever, and I'll get that sometimes. Anyway, the SOS emergency's at the top, and then you've got the options below. And the one I chose was, yes, I fell, but I'm okay. In other words, don't call anyone. Mm-hmm. And the only damage I have a sore wrist, my shoulder, a scraped knee, and a wounded and a wounded ego.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
but the watch performed beautifully. Now the people who were 30 feet away, who witnessed this entire thing, did nothing.
Of course,
no one got up. No one went to see if I was okay.
They no Samaritan alert.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, they took pictures of you and posted on Facebook and said, "Look at this guy."
Yeah. So I finished my run. I'm still a little sore, but it's getting better. So I will never take my eyes off the sidewalk again. I mean, that's why I do it.
Wow.
And another reason I prefer to run on the side of the street instead, because it's much smoother. And I know you're running with, you know, there's cars and traffic on the street, which you don't get on the sidewalk, but the street is much smoother. For every length of concrete on the street, there's like 7 or 8 breaks in the sidewalk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Possible places you can trip. And by the way, if you do run in the street, just a quick note, you run against traffic. And if you're riding a bike, you ride with it. Okay, just a note of safety there. I see people doing the opposite all the time. It drives me nuts. Because if you don't hear or see the car behind you, that's it. It's up to the driver not to hit you. If you're going against traffic, it's up. Not only does the driver have a chance to see you, but you have a chance to see them. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyway, just a little public safety there. Anyway, so I was wondering, okay, I have a watch with no cell service. If I have a watch with no cell service that I'm not paying for, would it call emergency services if I needed it? And it won't.
Mm-hmm. That is supposed to. It's supposed to call 911, right?
It can't. You know? Not if you don't have it. Does it through your phone? But if you don't have your phone with you, I never run with my phone, right? Only my watch. So if you just have a Wi-Fi version of a watch and you don't have your phone with you, that does fall detection doesn't call anybody. It can't.
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought you were saying the cellular version. Okay.
No, I'm just saying that if you have just the Wi-Fi version, it won't do it.
Sure.
That's why I make sure when I run, I have the watch that has the cell connection with it, right? Mm-hmm.
But what if you don't have a plan on the cellular, will it still work?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
Really?
No.
No. Now, later this year, what we just talked about, emergency SOS satellite text feature on the watch, specifically on the Ultra, would make a hard fall if you only had the Wi-Fi watch much safer, because I bet it will call.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
That will be part of it. I would hope that they would do that, right? So that's something to look forward to. That's a nice extra feature if you don't have the cell service. Yeah, but it got me thinking. I was running with the one with the cell on it, but what if I was running with the other watch?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yeah.
It would have no way of making the call.
I'd always thought that cell phones, even without a plan, we'll still make 911 calls, but I don't know.
It does the watch, though.
I think the phone might, but yeah, the watch, if you're the only device you have on you, I think you're SOL.
Hmm.
That's why you're SOL, because you need SOS. That's that's why they have it. So
yeah, all the phones, I think, have the capability to make a phone call, but all the watches don't.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. Could I make an emergency phone call on a watch without cellular service?
No.
Yeah.
I guess not.
I don't think so. There's no technology to do it, right? There's no, unless it overrid the fact that you have it turned off.
I think it,
I think because the phone service is through the phone carriers, but I think they're supposed to.
For the phone
pass through for 911, yeah,
but not the watch. The watch has no way to do that, right?
Well, if it has a cellular modem, I guess it's supposed to be able to. But I don't know.
Hmm.
You know how it switches to SOS as soon as you lose connectivity from your carrier?
Your phone, yeah.
Your phone. Right. I don't know if there's SOS on your watch.
Yeah. No, but that's what I hope we get this year.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, it'd be nice.
Now, if we're wrong on this, I'm sure we'll get some emails. but from what I understand, that's the state of it right now.
Yeah. There was a tip somewhere. Someone said that, you know, you would put like an old phone in your glove compartment in your car, even if you don't have cell service. As long as it has power, you can use it for emergencies.
Right. And that I think is true. I just don't think they've brought it to the watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else before we complete our exercise and move rings early in the morning and then have to wait all day to close our stand ring?
No. No good.
I hate that. I still hate that.
All day.
Yeah, all day. All day, and you still don't feel like you did anything. All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. Again, if you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website, and that's at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or pretty much any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email, and that's at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.